You can open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, we learned the other day when we were together, we learned that when Adam and Eve decided to rebel against God when they sinned, that's what sin is, it's rebellion against God, right? And they decided to do this thing, and they really joined a current rebellion upon the earth. Upon this planet, there was already a rebellion taking place. Lucifer and his angels rebelled against God. And after they rebelled, it says that in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, it says that he wanted to ascend above the clouds, which means that he had a kingdom below the clouds. That he would set his throne above the Most High, which means he had a throne, which means he was a king of sorts. And he wanted to raise up above the stars. He wanted to be just like God. And it says, Satan, you who did weaken the nations, which means that Satan, Lucifer, ruled over nations on this earth. Makes it very clear in Scripture. It means what it says. And after he tried to overthrow God, he came down and he weakened those nations, whatever they were, as some kind of pre-Adamite creation, before Adam. There was another race of some kind of being here. There's not much information about it, but there's enough information, there was something here. So we just call it, Bible theologians, they call it the pre-Adamite creation. It's very clear doctrine in Scripture. And what happened is he caused God to curse all of them because he, just as, you know, it says that Satan is the originator of sin. 1 John 3:8, he's the father of sin. And he caused all these pre-Adamites to rebel, and God destroyed every one of them. Just annihilated the whole race of them, whatever they were. They're gone. And, you know, God wanted to make a second world ruler of this planet Earth, which was Adam. He was supposed to be the second world ruler of this planet. And Satan was wise enough, you know, God warned Adam and Eve, he told them to keep the garden, to tend the garden, which means to protect it. Which gives us understanding that Adam had knowledge of Satan and his evil forces lurking around. He knew that they were around. And there's no question, God told him, I give you dominion. He understood his authority. He understood these things. And Satan was upset that God removed his mantle, his anointing to be a world ruler. He was no longer the world ruler of this planet. Adam had now been replaced with Lucifer. Replaced him. He's jealous. And Lucifer also knew that because he fell, he sinned against God and God cursed him. And when he caused these pre-Adamites to sin, God cursed them. He knew that if he could get God to curse Adam and Eve, that he could gain dominion over humanity by being a stronger set of spirit beings on this planet. He knew that he could cause God to curse Adam and cause a curse on the whole planet, even though he had recreated it. He told Adam to replenish the earth. If you break it down in the Hebrew, when it says that God said, let there be light, it literally translates, it's the same as saying, turn on the lights, which means they were previously existing. It's not an inclination that God was creating the lights, it was that he was restoring something that already was. If you break it down in the Hebrew, you'll find that's true. Absolutely true. There's no question about it. Very clear doctrine in Scripture. Now, Peter said, angels are stronger and more powerful than us. So this angelic class of being, Lucifer, and all of his cohorts, we know that a third of the angels chose to follow Satan, Lucifer, and start a rebellion. And we know that they were the stronger class of spirit beings. So when Adam, first it was Eve, you know, Paul brought that out when he spoke to Timothy. He saw that it said that Eve was deceived and became the sinner. That's what Paul said. So she sinned and Adam just joined with her. But when they sinned, they open up the door for this curse to come upon this planet and upon themselves. And as a result of them losing that dominion, Satan knew that if he could get them to lose that dominion, he would be the more powerful spirit being and be able to take that dominion from them. In fact, Adam gave it to them when he sinned. That's what happened. And if you don't believe that, you can read it plainly in the book of Luke. Satan tempted Jesus and he said, look at all the different kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He said, all their authority and power has been given to me, Satan said. It had been given to him. When he tricked Adam and Eve, it was given over to him. So he now had authority and dominion over this earth, and Jesus came to get it back for humanity. Amen. And now through the name of Jesus, us who are born again, we have dominion again over the devil. We have more power and authority over him from a spiritual standpoint. Angels are still more, they're physically more powerful. But when it comes to authority, if you understand who you are in Christ, they don't stand a chance. It would be equal to them standing up against Jesus. So, but in order to understand these things, in order to have that type of authority over the devil and watch it actually manifest and see it actually work in your life, you need to really understand who you are. And there has to be a transformation of your mind, which is fallen. You received a fallen mind the moment you were born into this planet. It says, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We all inherited spiritual death from our forefather Adam. Spiritual death was inherited. Spirit, soul, and body. For all of us, every single person that was born of the Adamic race. That's a fallen human race. So when you get born again, what happens is you get a, you know, he said in Ezekiel 36, he give us a new heart, a new spirit. He said that in Jeremiah 2. He said that he give us a new heart and a new spirit. He's talking about the born again new nature that we receive. You have the nature of the devil. He says, you were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest of mankind, in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 19. You were by nature. It was natural for you to sin. Before you were born again, that's what you wanted to do. And until you had your spirit regenerated, until you were born again, the only thing that was happening in you is you were developing that spiritually dead nature on the negative end of the spectrum. You were getting more and more sinful. That's what was happening to you and to all of us. But when you get born again, he takes that old stony heart out, that the nature of Satan is what it is. It's literally a satanic nature. Some people may not want to hear that, but if you're not born again, it's not a matter if you're of the devil or if you're demon-possessed. It's a matter you are of the devil. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. He told them in John 8. It's a matter you are of the devil. He said, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That's anybody that's not born again. Ephesians chapter 2. You are controlled by him and dominated by him because you're the weaker set of spirit rebels. And not only that, it's not a matter if you're demon-possessed. It's how demon-possessed you allow yourself to get. He has control. It says, you don't believe that? You just read 1 John 5:19. He says, we know that we're the children of God and that the whole world's under the control of the devil. He has control over them. That's why he uses them against you sometimes. That's his children. They love him. You say, well, I didn't love him. Sure you did. You loved his ways. You loved him. You want to carry out your father's lusts. That's what Jesus said about it. So we were of the devil. All of us were of the devil. We need to look at and see what Jesus really did for us. Now, But Jesus came to set us free. Amen. He broke. It says that he came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. That's one of the reasons. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest. That's why a lot of people don't want to think of Jesus as a conqueror or a mighty powerful king or of a warrior or of a destroyer. But that's what he was. And when he broke this power of the devil off of us by becoming the curse of the broken law for us, according to Galatians 3:13 and 14, it says, Christ redeemed us, or he paid the price for us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and we might receive the promise of the Spirit. That's that new nature by faith. So he broke that curse off, and he stepped into our humanity's shoes, in particular the Jewish shoes, but it represented all humanity. That the whole world might be accountable to God. So they represented all humanity. He stepped into their shoes, became the curse that they deserved to become, that all of us deserve to become. And he paid the price, because God is just. A lot of people, we know God is love, but one of his 9 sovereign attributes, he's also just. He's just as much just as he is love. They want to focus on love, 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 love. But the Jews did and still do understand, if they're focused on God, they understand the consequences of sin. And the reason they do is because every time they sin, they had to go kill another sheep. The Gentiles, which is us over here in the United States and around the world, as a whole, unless they read their Bibles, they don't understand the consequences to sin. Not fully. Not like the Jews did. So Satan takes advantage of that. That's a weakness. He takes advantage of their ignorance. The Bible says my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Habakkuk 2:2. Destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. So he wants to destroy us through that lack of knowledge. He wants to get us to focus only on the love of God and turn God's love into some kind of license of a morality. And you're seeing that going on in the body of Christ all over the world. Some of the most popular teachers over the last, some of them, 10 years ago, they weren't doing this. But now they've got their big mega churches. One guy's got 10,000 people in his church. Big money church. And, he used to teach some things that were good. His father taught the truth. And now he's allowing men in his church to preach this grace. Now, we know that we're saved by the grace of God. But they're turning it into a license where to sin, and they're watering down the gospel. He said that people would distort the truth to gain disciples after themselves. He didn't say they get rid of the truth. He said they distort the truth, which means they're still using truth, but they're twisting it. When the apostle Paul rebuked the one sorcerer. He said, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right, which gives us understanding that the devil is the enemy of everything that's right. He said, you're full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you not ever stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? So we know the devil's full of deceit, trickery. He tricks people. He's a trickster. He's full of deceit and trickery, and he perverts the right ways of the Lord. So he uses the right ways of the Lord, but he perverts them. You can learn a lot from that one scripture when he rebuked that sorcerer. Because he's describing the attributes of Satan. He's full of deception. So he tries to deceive Christians. He knows that we're, even after you're born again, until you have a revelation of your authority and who you are in Christ, he can still deceive you and control you to some level. He can do that. If you're walking in the flesh and you're still carnal, you're not yet empowered by that new nature. You haven't brought that new nature forward. It's like turning on the light. You need to bring that. Jesus said, if your eye be single, he talked about the eye being the lamp of the body. In other words, your eye If you close your eyes, there's no entrance of light into your body. You can't see anything with your eyes closed, right? You may see a little bit of light. You understand what I'm trying to tell you. Now, but what he said, if your eye be single, your body will be full of light. And he said, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, he said, it'll be completely illuminated like a light of a lamp shining on you. And what he's talking about is if you take that new nature, he's talking about the born again nature. He talked about this in Luke chapter 11. Maybe we teach on it sometime in detail, but he's talking about if you're born again, if your eye is focused 100% on God, he's going to give you that new nature. You're going to be full of light. And if you will use the power of the Holy Spirit to bring that new nature forward, it's not going to just illuminate you on the inside, but it's going to make you like a lamp where it's affecting everyone around you. You're a light exposing darkness. That was the whole purpose of Jesus. He came into this world as a light. When he said, I'm the light of the world, if anyone follows me, you will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He wasn't just talking about, Jesus is the light of the world, he's warm and fuzzy. He wasn't just talking about that, he's talking about exposing sin. Amen. And we know that Jesus is loving and gentle and kind and merciful and wonderful. But he's also a mighty conqueror. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It talks about the, you know, even when it talks about him as a lamb, it talks about the wrath of the lamb. And there's much wrath coming to this planet. I keep prophesying about it. We're not supposed to treat prophecies of contempt. I see what's coming. I can see it coming. It's coming. Big wrath. We're going to get pulled out of here. The Prime Minister of Israel just met with the President again, which is a huge deal when it comes to end times. It's all set in the stage. That peace agreement, it's going to get ready to get made, and we're out of here. True Christians, we're out of here. And the rest of them that we've been warning and telling that haven't been listening, we're telling them to come to the banquet. Come to the banquet. I just bought a field. Come to the banquet. I just got married. Come to the banquet. I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. I can't tell you how many people make excuses. I can't come to church because of this. I'm so busy these days and this, that, and they make all sorts of excuses. But it says the king was enraged about it. He wasn't happy about that. And even after that, he said, go out to the highways and byways and bring anybody in you can find. They brought the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Then it was full. He said, go get the rest of them. Go get the Gentiles. Bring them in. Even after that, he saw somebody in sitting at the feast and he didn't have wedding clothes. So even after you're born again, there's a selection process to make sure you're truly saved. He said, God, how did you get in here, friend? He said, the man was speechless. He says he was speechless. He said, tie him out, sand. He said, go throw him out there in the darkness. They're not truly saved. So even after we get born again, even if you go to church, you need to be wholehearted towards God. And the reason that's so important is because you need to recognize that this stronger set of spirit rebels is after us, trying to destroy us. He said the thief comes not but to steal and kill and destroy. He comes for one reason, threefold application: kill, steal, destroy. Destroy us. That's what Satan comes for. But he doesn't have... He doesn't have authority to do so unless we have our guard down or unless we permit it. Amen. So it's not like you got to walk around thinking that the devil's going to destroy you all the time. But you do need to walk around with your guard up like this all the time. Amen. And I'll prove it with a scripture. He said in 1 Peter 5:8-9, he said, be self-controlled and alert. Alert. That means you just like you just drank 10 cups of coffee. You're alert. You're self-controlled. He said, be self-controlled, alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Who's devourable? Well, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Anybody full of care? Verses 5 and verse 6 of 1 Peter 5 says, he says, God opposes the proud. Pride is absolutely devourable. Anybody who's not humble enough to listen to what God's word says and act on it, that's pride. Amen. Hearing the word over and over but not doing what it says is pride. He says, God opposes the proud, and he's against them, and gives grace to the humble. He said, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. When he talks about the mighty hand of God, he's talking about God's hand, but in particular in context of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, he's talking about the fivefold ministry gifts. The hand of God, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fingers, right? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He talks in the beginning of the chapter. He says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. He says to the elders, he's talking about to the pastors now. He says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, because you're willing as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted you, but being examples of the flock. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Then he says, young man, be submissive to those who are older. He says, all of you, he says, submit to one another. He's talking about, he says, in the same way about those young men. He just got done talking about the pastors. And then he says, young men, in the same way, be submissive. Oh, how is the pastor submissive? Well, I'm submitting the gift that God has equipped me with by his anointed you. I'm submitting to you by serving that gift to you. Amen. What is that gift? That's anointing God. So I'm really more of a servant to you than you may even be to me. That's humility. I do what's necessary to lock myself away to God to serve that to you. Why? So you can humble yourself and receive that and be grow and mature so you can get rid of all your cares of this world and let go of it. And then verse 8, you'll have an awareness to be self-controlled and alert. How are you going to do that? I just told you the last two services that the devil's out there trying to stop Christians. So now I've humbled myself by serving from the Lord's table this information so you're not destroyed because you no longer have a lack of knowledge. You have the knowledge. Amen. I'm probably blowing your mind right now with all this information. Now, but this is all in there. It's been in your Bible the whole time. Some people go in there to get it out. Amen. So, in reality, as humans, humans are the weaker set of spirit rebels. Adam and Eve joined a current rebellion on the earth, which was Satan and his angels. There was already a rebellion going on. So when they sinned, they turned all humanity into another set of spirit rebels against God. See how the devil works? He's just a trickster. Trickery, full of deceit and trickery, he said. So now that all these things are taking place, what we need to do is we need to have an awareness. So the greatest key to get free from anything is an awareness that there's something you need to be aware of. You know, if the Alcoholics Anonymous, they tell you the first step to recovery is you have to acknowledge you're an alcoholic. So every meeting they say, I'm so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic. They speak that over themselves and then they acknowledge the problem and they go through their different steps. You know, if you got a problem with anger, you need to, first of all, to get free, you got to take God, I got a problem with anger. This is a sin and I don't want it. As long as you go on without asking God for help, he can't set you free from that. It's the same with lust. He says that about lust, he says that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery within his heart. Next verse, he says, if your hand causes sin, if your foot causes sin, if your eye causes sin, cut them out, pluck them out. He said, it's better for you to enter life maimed or crippled or with one eye than to be thrown into hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm never dies. So if we got problems, you need to say, God, I got a problem with lust. Help me. I can't do it. He goes, you judge right. You judge right. You're right. You got a problem with lust. And because you do, I, the Lord your God, have heard your confession of your sin. And if you're willing to walk with me, I will help you walk out of that so you can be saved. That's what he says. You know, it's an acknowledgement. He's not looking for sacrifice. He's looking for an acknowledgement of God, the scripture says. He wants you to acknowledge his ways are true. He wants you to acknowledge that he's holy and he's infinite. And we are also to be holy and we are finite. We are on a lower level than God. We need to grow and mature to become more like God. We need to acknowledge, you know, Jesus said, when you pray, our Father who art in heaven. We need to acknowledge that God's up there in heaven seated on the throne. We're humans down here. We need to seek him for strength. We need to get off of God's throne and recognize where we really are. He said, Jesus told his disciples, you need to say, we're unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. We need to be humble. Amen. And recognize God's ways are right. We need to recognize these things. Now, so in order for us to operate and overcome these stronger set of spirit rebels that are loose on the earth, the only way that we can possibly do that is to rely heavily upon God. Heavily upon God. You know, He gives us the name of Jesus, but we also need His wisdom. Amen. He said to be as wise as serpents, be wise as the devil, wiser than him. He said in 2 Corinthians 2:11, He said, we're not unaware of Satan's schemes. So we need to be aware of his schemes. We need to be aware of his tactics. We need to overcome him. But since we're weaker than the angels and they're fallen angels, in order to overcome something that's stronger than you, it means you need to tap into God's grace. Amen. You need to tap into his anointing and his power. You need to recognize that just because you're born again, that doesn't make you so high and lofty, but you need to recognize that because you're born again, you have access to God who will help you to overcome.
Amen.
Through the name of Jesus, through his discernment, he'll show you things. The other day he showed me two different things. I'll call it the discerning of spirits in the form of a vision. Two different times he showed me a whole bunch of completely pitch black figures about human size lurking around. And the first time I saw it, I was laying on the couch. I saw it, and there they were. They're lurking around. I thought, okay, they're lurking around. And then the next day, he was really trying to get it over to me. He's trying to tell me something. I seen it again. I was waking up from a nap, and I seen it again lurking around. And the second time I saw it, I said, okay. He's really trying to get something across to me. So I told Michelle about it. I said, look, through the discerning of spirits, the Lord showed me twice in just a couple days. He showed me this same thing two times. I said, he's not showing me for my entertainment. I can guarantee you that. I said, we need to pray. Because Satan may have been trying to plan an attack or something. I don't know. God didn't speak a word to me about it. He just showed me the vision, and he expects me to know what to do with it at this point. So I asked him about it. He told me nothing, but I did feel an impression real strongly to pray. So I said, we need to pray. So what we did is we said, Lord, you showed us this thing now. We've seen what they're trying to do. Help us to pray. So we just took off praying in tongues and rebuked the devil, went through the apartment, and just trust the Lord. If there's anything more he's got to show me, he'll show me about it. You see? Because he knows those spirits, they're lurking around. We need to use our authority over them and command them to get away from us in the name of Jesus. You're not welcome. This is a house of holiness here. You don't have access to my home. You don't have access to my life. You get out in the name of Jesus. You command them to get out of your home. You don't ask them. You say, I command. Jesus didn't. He never asked. I seen one man of God. I ask you, Satan, leave. Forget about it. Jesus commanded the evil spirits. We're supposed to do what Jesus... You don't say, Satan, I ask you to leave. You could say that, I suppose, in the name of Jesus. But I'm telling you what Jesus did. He commanded them to leave. And that's what works. When we cast devils out of people, and we do that at times, we don't ask them to leave. We command them to get out of that body in the name of Jesus. And they come out. Some of them make it known when they come out. But when you cast devils out, whether it's a manifestation or not, it doesn't make any difference. Sometimes they manifest and they're not coming out. And sometimes they don't manifest, but they are coming out. And you need to know that, because if you're waiting for a manifestation to think that person you command the devil to come out of got free, you're going to be waiting a long time, because sometimes they just come out. You can't see them unless God opens up your eyes, and he does at times. He expects you to do it by faith. He doesn't want to have to show you everything. He expects you to just believe his word. So just because the devil, when you lay hands on someone and say, I command you to come out, devil. You can say, what's your name? Some people do that. At times I feel led to do that. Sometimes they'll tell you your name. And sometimes they're silent. But when that person walks out of here free, you can be assured that the devil came out if they were bound up. Whether you've seen a manifestation or not. And even if they do manifest, sometimes they do that to make you think they're coming out, but they're not coming out. They're stubborn spirits. They don't want to come out of there. So you can't take a manifestation as any kind of foundation for faith. You use the name of Jesus and you believe that when you told them to come out, whether they came out here or they come out when that person goes home and the next day they call you up and say, I'm all messed up, I can't come to church because I'm sicker than a dog, been throwing up all night, and I don't know what's going on. You can just rest assured that that's that devil that you commanded the day before to come out. I don't know how many times that's happened. All of a sudden, hell breaks loose in that person's life. I can tell you why, because those devils don't want to let loose of them. And sometimes that person don't want to let loose of the devil if they're involved in sin. This is good information to understand. These are things I learned. Now, you know, and they won't, if the person doesn't want to let them go, Brother Hagin one time was walking down the sidewalk, I believe he said he was, and there's one person that had a religious spirit, and God revealed it to him, that this man has a religious spirit. And Brother Hagin talked to the man, and he said, the Lord showed me, and he said, you want to be free? And he said, no, this is the way I like it. He said, well, that's the way it's going to be. And he walked right down the street. He didn't even bother with him. Because if the person wants it, it's pointless to try to command the devil out of somebody that wants it. Because it's going to come back seven times worse, Jesus said. You know, it's going to take really a lot worse. It's multiplication in numbers, too. He said seven. He'll go get seven more spirits, more wicked than itself. So it's not seven times worse, it's even more than that. It's just seven other spirits with the one, and they come back. And the final condition of the man's worse than the first, he said in Matthew chapter 12. So we're talking about some interesting things here tonight, aren't we? Amen. But this is what we need. So we need to listen, because maybe we're going to be doing some deliverance in the next few days here. So you've got to keep your eyes open. Somebody comes up to you and said they're tormented in their minds. You say it's the devil. Don't wonder if it's the devil. Don't call it bipolar. Call it what it is. When it says the people were harassed and the people were tormented. And Jesus, you know what he did? He didn't say, let's go over by Dr. Luke. Luke was a doctor. He'd say, let's go get a prescription. Because you're bipolar. He didn't say, this is OCD. This is obsessive compulsive disorder. We need to go get you some medication. Is that what Jesus said? No. Jesus cast the devils out of the people that were tormented. Which means that every sickness and every disease, you can rest assured, if you go through the scriptures with an open heart and an open mind, one time through the four Gospels, especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke, if you go through one time and pay attention, you'll see that every time that those people had devils, it mentioned sickness with almost every single case. So evil spirits cause sickness and disease. There's spirits of infirmity. Sometimes, the one man... The one man's child could not speak. He was mute, or the man was mute. It wasn't the man's child. The man was mute, and he called it a deaf and mute spirit, but it never says the man was deaf. So the man could not speak, but when Jesus said, I command you, you deaf and mute spirit, to come out of him. And the reason I'm saying that is because Jesus discerned the name of that spirit. Now, if he wouldn't have called it a deaf and mute spirit, I'm fully convinced it wouldn't have came out. You know, it's like Paul, the man, the one man he was preaching to, and it said that Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. So Paul was preaching and preaching and preaching before that. The man was already laying there crippled. He didn't just walk up to him and heal. He waited until he had an unction from the Holy Ghost to do it. And then he looked over at him. He had a quickening in his spirit and said, now's the time. The Lord told him, now's the time. And the guy got healed. Amen. So there's a timing. You know, it's like in Acts chapter 16, the woman that was predicted, slave girl that predicted the future, she walked around for days. Now, Paul didn't walk up and lay hands on her and say, come out in the name of Jesus. He didn't do that. But it says, all of a sudden, Paul became so troubled in the spirit. That was an unction from God to say, the gift of faith came on him. And he said, now's the time. And he said, I command you to come out of her in the name of Jesus and never enter it again. And his spirit left her. He needed a specific unction from God. When we cast devils out and when we do things for God, We don't want to be doing it a cookie cutter way. Amen. The devil don't like this type of message because I'm giving you some secrets here that are going to make things work better if you do it. When you pray, when you lay hands on people, or when you cast the devil out, sometimes we get in the habit of saying, I command in the name of Jesus, I command in the name of Jesus, be healed in the name of Jesus. We do these things, but the better, there's a better way to do it. Jesus said, I speak only what I hear. Isn't that what he said? Amen. He said, I judge only what I hear. Jesus was trying to give us something. He said, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. We need to wait till we get the Spirit to bear witness with our spirit on what to do. We need to get the unction of God. We need to pay close attention to the inside when we're praying for people. We need to look to see what God would have us to do in every individual situation. God will have you do some unusual things at times. You know, the one woman of God was giving her testimony. Her family was having all these problems in the house. And God said, go lay hands on all the walls of the house. And pray over the walls of the house. And the Holy Ghost. You're thinking, what's that going to do? I'm telling you right now, I've done that. God's had me do that before. And the peace of God fills the house. Why? Because there was a onslaught of the enemy trying to break in your home. He's trying to bombard you. He's trying to come in there. So we need to be good listeners. Amen. And the best way to listen is to, first of all, be sensitive to God through the reading of His Word every single day, all the time. Just keep the Word. Now I got my upgraded phone. You know, they give you the upgrades every 2 years. The free upgrade or whatever. I had to pay $50 because I got a bigger memory because we record with the phone right now. So it cost me $50 for the phone. But now I got my old phone, which I use as an iPod. So now I got the Word playing in two rooms of the house. And then Michelle's got it playing on her. I mean, we got the Word playing all over our house. Some of you should take note. Some of you don't got any Word playing in your house. You need to get the Word playing in the house. If we've got it playing in just about half the rooms of our house, however many rooms there are, in our apartment, then go on and get it playing in your house. Go get an iPod and get a little speaker plug in for $5. Get that thing going. Get it playing. Why? Because the devil hates the Word of God. You got strife in your house? You got kids that don't listen? You getting attacked in your house? You start playing the Word there, I promise you, if you do it for a month, your house atmosphere will change. Amen. The one man gave the testimony that there was a city with a high crime rate, and I don't remember who it was, if it was one of the authorities got the idea from the Holy Ghost to start playing a recording of the Word of God over a loudspeaker quietly. A loudspeaker quietly, right? That's what they did. They played the Word of God, and over a period of time, sure enough, the crime rate went down in that area. Amen. Why is that? You know, when I first moved to West Allis, to this area, the area that we walked around, I felt a lot of darkness, a lot of darkness. You feel fear walking through the area. But now when I walk through, I feel nothing but the peace of God. And I can tell you why that is, because I play the Bible when I walk or the area. And Michelle does it too when she walks the dog. We pray in the Holy Ghost and we walk around that area. One minister friend of mine, he used to do what he got an idea from someone else to call it prayer walking. So that's basically what I do. I just don't think of it as with that name. But he prayer walks. So he walk around the area of his home prayer walking. And it was not one time, but multiple times someone said, who was the guy walking with you? And the first time he thought, well, nobody's walking with me. I'll pray walk alone. Jesus is walking with him. Somebody seen, maybe it was an angel. They said some entertain angels unaware. They don't even know it because they look just like men. So whoever, somebody was walking with him as he prayed. Amen. Amen. Then when you pray, somebody's walking with you. Who's that? Well, God the Holy Ghost. possibly some other members of the Godhead if they want to come walk with you. Amen. We're changing things when we pray. Let me tell you something. When Jesus walks in the room, devils flee. They don't like his presence. So we, in order to be stronger than this strong set of spirit rebels, we need to tap into God's anointing and his power. And the way we do that is we, first of all, we become great listeners. We listen very closely to what the Holy Ghost is trying to do. We don't want to always be in a rush. We want to be able to listen and be careful that we're hearing correctly, because sometimes God's trying to give you hints. Sometimes God's trying to give you specific instructions for a particular situation. But if you're not listening, then you'll just go on doing it like a tradition of men. You know? You know, sometimes God wants to do something. Amen? Sometimes God wants to do something different than we had planned. We like to make plans, but God can be very spontaneous at times to do specific things. And if you do it, let me tell you something, if you learn to tap into what the Holy Ghost wants to do and you do it God's way, it will work every single time, because God does not fail. Amen. There's been times when I pray a certain way about a certain thing and see no results, but I said, God, I've tried this and it's not working. It's not working. So I'm just telling you it's not working, and I'm asking you right now to give me the right words here. And then you speak, you just listen, and he'll say it like this. Or bind the devil like this. And he'll tell you, and you just do that. Just say those simple, even if it sounds just a little bit different than you've been doing, if you just say it exactly like he said it, and all of a sudden it works, and you're thinking, that's it? And it's not, and then the next time you try to do it that exact same way, and it won't work. You see, God doesn't do things a cookie-cutter way every single time. Sometimes he does do things a specific way, but we want to become sensitive in every... We want to become... You know, we need to counsel with the Lord before we do anything. We want to... Every time we make any kind of decision, you should always ask God. Make him be your counsel. If he's your Lord... You know, if Jesus walked with the apostles... They were right there before they did anything. Jesus standing there. They said, Lord, what do you want us to do here? Lord, what do you want us to make the Passover? He said, go to a certain city. There's a man carrying a water jar. Men didn't carry the jars of water. The women and the disciples are thinking, a man carrying a jar of water. This guy's lost his mind right now. But they already had been walking with the Lord. So they knew, okay, he says, a man's going to carry a jar of water. This is going to take some faith, but we're going to go watch for this man carrying a jar of water. That didn't happen in that culture. Maybe the slave girl was sick. That's just how they did it. Or the women, not necessarily even a slave, but the women. So, sure enough, they go and there's a man carrying a jar of water. He said, follow him to the house. He enters and he said, ask the owner of the house, where's the guest room where I can make the Passover? And sure enough, it all worked. God's got specific instructions. God does things a certain way. You know? And if we'll follow the Holy Ghost specifically, then we're going to have better results. He says, it's through my spirit that I enable you and equip you to discern all things. For the spiritual man has the ability to discern and judge all things by my spirit, for I have equipped you so. But you must listen. You must hearken to the voice of my spirit and to the voice of my word. Stay close to me. Be separate from this world. Stay separated from those things of this world. For all of the things of this world hinder the anointing. They taint that which is pure. They pervert the anointing of God. So be sensitive by staying separate. Be sanctified, says the Lord. Be separate from this world. For you will find that as you stay separate and you make that choice, you will find that you will become so sensitive to me that I will use you to such a level that you will rejoice and find that this new wine tastes better than the old. You will find that being used by me is the thing that satisfies, says the Lord. And he just passed this through my spirit. We'll see how he wants to give this. Father, we thank you for the right words to give them understanding. Don't let your feelings ever, ever direct your paths in any way. Your feelings, your emotions will deceive you. Always, always, always pay very close attention. Everything, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, always consult the Lord and look to what He's telling you. As there's going to be many circumstances, the devil will convince you you sinned when you didn't sin. He'll convince you you didn't sin when you did sin. Through the emotional realm, that's his playground. We need to get out of the flesh realms. And we need to really start looking to, he's really just dealing with us right now about this as a body. He wants to really make us spiritual people. He wants us to really get out of anything that's remnants left of the flesh. He wants us to really get spiritual. Don't be afraid. If you feel like God wants you to speak to someone, just say it. And don't be embarrassed. Even if you miss God every once in a while, you're going to do that at times. You're going to miss Him as you grow and mature. But you will get to that place where, and the thing is, you'll learn from your mistakes because the Holy Spirit knows that you made the mistake. And He's not embarrassed about it because He says, okay, you made that. Now I'm going to teach you something about it if you're willing to learn. Either that or you're going to get discouraged and you're not going to step out by faith again. You need to keep stepping out by faith and you'll make many mistakes. Peter told Jesus not to go to the cross and Jesus called him the devil. And just a couple minutes before that, Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon. He said, this is not revealed to you from man, but from my Father in heaven. So he just got a revelation and a couple minutes later, Peter says, it'll never happen to you. And Jesus says, you're of the devil. Embarrassed him right in front of everybody. You're going to make mistakes. All the apostles tried to go back under law. All of them did in the book of Acts. It was 14 years later or something like that before they finally got the clue to go to the Gentiles. And Jesus told them over and over, go to all the world. So you're going to make mistakes in your walk with God. It's the difference between making a mistake and living in a practicing life of sin. Those people that do that are in danger of hell. We don't want to live there. We want to get so close to God that we can't smell the smoke of the flames anymore. That's where we want to stay. I don't want to go anywhere near. I don't want that anymore. Keep it away. Keep the world away from me. That world is deceptive. It tries to draw you in. He said that, let us throw off everything that hinders. Well, what hinders? The things of this world hinder. That what? He just told us in the prophecy that it'll hinder the anointing. I don't remember the words, but he said it'll taint it, I think, is what he said there. Now, so we want to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. It takes you from one little sin to the next. We want to obey God. We want to just be real sensitive to the inside. Always, if you get anything out of tonight, let's just always be on the guard against the devil. Be on guard against the devil. And let's just stay real close to the Lord and ask Him everything. Just always be counseling with the Lord. Just like he was walking with you physically. He's right there. He says, it's expedient. It's better off that I go away. If I don't go away, the counselor won't come to you. John 16:7. That's the Holy Ghost. He's with you all day long. You should be talking to the Holy Ghost all day long. What do you want me to do, Lord? Show me where to go. Who do you want me to talk to? Give me courage. I don't feel like witnessing, Lord. Give me boldness. Tell him. I don't feel like witnessing today. Give me boldness, Lord. Just ask him for what you need. All those weaknesses, just keep asking and you'll receive it. Amen?